Please sit down.
Play my phone.
We are starting.
Use that thing.
Thank you. Just to recap from where we were or where we ended up before the break. So as I said, what we agreed on is the amendments regarding the number of vice chairs. So far we have no agreement on the minor changes related to some details of the election procedure. We'll give us a chance to maybe prepare an agreement on this until Thursday, where we will discuss the holistic review. If there is no agreement until Thursday, we'll stay with the modalities as we had them last year, and the Secretariat will then send out the same procedures like last year. You will get these procedures again so that you know how this is going to work. And the other thing that I would just recall is that the call for nominations is open now, so you can either nominate yourself or somebody else from now on until the deadline of 17th of June. Thank you. So with this, we would move on to item number four, which is the new GTLD safeguards, which is something that has a... thank you, Olof. We forgot to, when we had the presentation round, we forgot to because they're hiding in the back, to actually present to you Ozan and Julia from ICANN staff. So would you maybe please stand up so that everybody who doesn't know you yet know that this is you. So our support staff, in addition to Olof, is sitting over there. And the other thing is that, of course, there is the possibility for participating remotely at this meeting. There are some people that will participate remotely, and of course they will be listed as participants as well. So this is something that we cannot omit, and you should be informed about. So back to the safeguard agenda item. This goes back to our so-called safeguard advice from Beijing 2 years ago, and there is a long history of communiques and letters from the GAC to the board, from the board to the GAC on this, and we're having two leads here. This is the European Commission and the United States. I just wanted to recall you that after consulting with the leadership team, I have sent out a draft letter last week to start the discussion, and we've received some comments, including the one from the US that proposes a different procedure. So in addition to the substance, we will also have to discuss the form of any communication to the board if we decide to do so, on how we communicate to the board, through which channel or channels. The objectives of this is to finalize the outstanding issues for the current round and to consider a GAC discussion on an approach for the next round. May I give the floor to the leads if you want to start the debate? So I see the U.S. is willing to begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And just to help colleagues understand the thinking behind my proposal, which was just, now I can't remember. I've already been here so many days, I cannot remember quite when I sent that email to the GAC list, perhaps a week ago. My suggestion was that we tweak the concept of a letter to convert the key points in the letter into bullet talking points that the GAC would review itself and come to agreement, and then that the GAC, via the chair, via the leads, however you wish to do that, Chair, would use the face-to-face meeting as an opportunity to publicly express the GAC's current thinking and to raise the questions that the draft letter raises. We would just convert the actual vehicle from a letter to talking points so that we create a record. So we're still going on the record, is my thinking, but that rather than sending a letter, we would go ahead and take advantage of the face-to-face meeting, which is also open to the public. So my hope was that the community would also find this of some value. And then we would be able to present the board with sort of a to-do list, if you will, some homework. And then in the interim period between the Buenos Aires meeting and Dublin, we always have the opportunity to then follow up with a more formal letter that sort of establishes, okay, now we're all on the same page, we know where we are, both parties, and as you were pointing out, our goal is actually to complete this cycle because it has gone on for quite some time. So that is, I hope that was clear to colleagues in the room. That was sort of the intent behind the email, and I believe I did do a track change version of the letter to convert it into bullets. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. So we have a proposal from the United States. European Union, please.
Yes, thank you very much. I think the idea is a good one, to have public debate and to have it on the record at the discussion, of course. But I think it's also important that we reinforce this issue in the communique itself. And so I think the idea to have the open session and present your issues at that open session is very good. But I think we should also not forget that we should add some clear text to the communique, because this is an issue that's been going on for a number of years now, and the communiques keep coming forward, but I think we have to really push now also in that context. Thanks.
Thank you, European Commission. Other comments or questions? So would you then agree to basically follow the proposal by the European Commission that we will table this in our oral exchange with the board, and we would work on a text for the communique? Which, yes, Indonesia.
Thomas, just want to get clarification from your side. I agree that, of course, that you and the team will work out the wording and so on to become a complete proposal and so on. What I would like to get clarification from you is how later we can have the final decisions on a timely manner. Because from the communication that you sent to us through email and so on, there's always a problem of wording and things like that. And in short, the most difficult point is how to make a final decision as a GAC decision. And before we have a decision-making system, then we always have this type of problems. I mean, in one of your letter, for example, in one of your email to us, you are asking, you are even quote-unquote complaining that if all the GAC members start to ask for improvement of A, B, C, D, and it will never stop, something like that. I reread your letter this morning, you know, so perhaps we can even have deliberation as how we can have a quick decision-making system or a standard operating procedures for the decision so that you as the chair can have a better response to the rest of the ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Indonesia. If I understand the proposal of the European Commission right, is that, and I think that the US is in line with this, we would not send a letter after, we would not decide now to send a letter after this meeting. We would have a text in the communique about this issue. That means that we would need to have an agreement on this text by Friday evening, which means that somebody needs to work on this text starting from now, based on, if you wish, the draft letter, other comments that have been made, also taking into account, if possible, the latest communication that we received last week on discrimination from the board, which is something that my letter, for instance, didn't take into account because it wasn't there yet. I assume that we have a little bit of an exchange, what exactly we use the time that we have to discuss what the elements of our oral and communication and of our text for the communique should be, so that those who will be drafting it, I would suggest that we will continue with having the US and the European Commission to take the lead on drafting that part of the text, that they have some guidance from the whole GAC on what the elements should be. You can, as I said, you can build on the elements that have been circulated so far, but it's not limited to these, of course. These are just this is just input to the debate. Further comments or questions on the procedure? Germany.
Thank you, Chairman. From our point of view, this is a very important step forward, and I think we should raise the questions that are still standing in the room and are not answered, and we should find an appropriate way. I think having some text in the communique would be good, and we surely would be prepared to work together with the colleagues from the US and the European Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Germany. Other comments? So do we have an agreement on the what to do? Okay, so now we have some time to discuss the substance of that communication, if you want. We have 30 minutes, even more,
yeah.
Right? 35 minutes to discuss substance, if we want. Yes, Switzerland.
Thank you, Chair. I think that in keeping with what the leads have proposed, and as there is a lot of convergence on the substance of what are the questions we want the board to answer, we have a very good basis there to have the discussion with the board. And in the communique, also in keeping with tradition, in the gag of reflecting discussions, we could easily use that agreed substance on the questions, the feedback we get from the board, and also as a new addition, our reaction to that, our follow-up, but that we will know after the discussion with the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Switzerland. Other comments? Spain?
Yes. I think that there are a couple of questions here that are key. And that should be in the discussion with the board and possibly in the communique. We need to initiate a dialogue with the board on the issues that have been accepted or even implemented by the board, or the ones that have not been addressed yet, or that we have to consider rejected. And when we have clarity on those issues, we can start the dialogue, the consultation procedure that is foreseen in the bylaws in order to get to mutual understanding and mutual agreement on the way forward. And then the board could finally decide what to do with GAC advice on new GTLDs and continue, and not continue, but to close this long work at once. Thank you.
Thank you, Spain. Further comments? If there are no further comments, then let me ask you, the leads, are you willing to start the drafting and come up with the first text as soon as possible? So ideally that we have this ready already before the meeting with the board, at least as a draft. Okay. Thank you very much. That means that we would move to the next agenda item, unless somebody takes the floor before that. No, that does not seem to be the case, which is number 5, about IGO protection. Maybe it's worth giving you an update on what has happened since our last meeting. We have answered, and you've participated in drafting the answer. We've answered the questions that have been posed to us at the end of last year by the GNSO, all these acronyms, Working Group on Curative Rights. We have sent the answer to that in April, and in parallel, we have had some informal discussions in a small group of some representatives of IGOs, members of the NGPC, and Suzanne Rodel from the US delegation, and myself as two GAC representatives, in consultation with the GAC leadership team. And we have arranged a phone call meeting in early June, if I'm not mistaken, where we decided in that group that we would pick up the work that has been started towards the end of last year, where there has been an exchange between the IGOs on an informal level and the NGPC on a concrete mechanism to get to a permanent protection mechanism that has then came to a halt, and it was decided that we are going to resume to work on a practical concrete mechanism and not entering the debate about how to interpret paragraph Article 6 there of the Paris Convention and so on and so forth, because it has been the feeling that that will not lead us to a solution very quickly. So we try to basically be pragmatic and get the aim done, that there is adequate protection for IGOs in a way that should work for the IGOs, but also for the other side, i.e. the registries and through the GNSO, and that the board can then basically move this issue forward. So we have agreed that we will work on that basis for the time being. We'll concentrate our resources and energy on this, trying to work out a pragmatic, practical solution. We have agreed that we will try and have a physical meeting of this small informal group in the first half of July, probably either in Geneva or in Paris, maybe linked to the face-to-face meeting of the CCWG accountability, as some people will already be there because of this, in order to reduce, let's say, travel burdens. This is an update that I would like to give you on this. Please, those who have been participating in this, add to my comments, and everybody else. Also, of course, you can make comments and ask questions. I see that the OECD wants to take the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for that recap. I think it's important that you mention this sort of linkage with the GNSO process, because I think that's sort of the main stumbling block now, is trying to come up with some sort of solution that sort of bridges the gap between the advice the GNSO has given up to this point and also the advice that the GAC has given. I just want to remind everyone that it's been over 3 years since the IGO was first organized to try to get protection for our names and acronyms in the DNS, and we're really hoping that at some point soon we will come to some sort of workable solution. In the meantime, though, our temporary protections are still in place, and that's really critical until a permanent solution is reached. Any solution that we come up with needs to take into account the fact that IGOs are, as we've noted many, many times in GAC advice, the IGOs are fundamentally different rights holders because of our status under international law, because of our limited resources, and because of our publicly funded and mandates to act for the public good. I think it was also important that you mentioned that, you know, we're sort of moving past the kind of tricky legal issues that have proved to be stumbling blocks in the past. What we just need is a practical administrative solution. So I think it's good that we're able to hopefully move past these issues and come to a solution that's agreeable to all of us. Like you said, it seems like we might be close to some sort of agreement on protections at the second level, and we're hoping that these meetings in July, we're still waiting for confirmation on exact dates and locations, will allow us to get there. So also I just wanted to point out that this, you know, the discussions we've been having in the GAC also about protections for country and territory names at the second level really demonstrates that it is possible to come up with a simple, relatively elegant solution to these kinds of issues. So hopefully we can come up with something as equally easily implementable for IGOs. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments or questions on this issue? No questions, no comments. Okay, we take note. then maybe the remaining question, do we feel that we need to have some reflection on this in the communique or not? Or should we spare each other the exercise to formulate something that may be misunderstood, but just agree that... we'll try and move this forward in this informal process and report back to the public when we have something concrete to report. OECD?
I think it's critical that we have something in the communique. And my understanding after our conference call about 10 days ago was that it was expected that there would be something in the communique that reflected that the GAC wanted this small group to move forward and propose something concrete.
Thank you. U.S.?
Thank you, Chair, and I'd like to thank our colleague from the OECD, and I also know, I believe, WIPO is in the room, so this is extremely helpful. I think it's certainly not a bad idea for us to indicate that the GAC has, yet again, as we have consistently since October 2012, we have supported the concept of providing appropriate protections for the names and acronyms of IGO at the second level. I would like to go on the record, though, since I know we have other colleagues in the room, and they may not be as familiar with this issue, which is probably nearer and dearer to our hearts than to anyone else's, but we think a considerable amount of progress has, in fact, already been made. So this is a two-part problem, if you will, and the first part is quite well on its way to having been sorted out, and that is a preventative mechanism. And where we are now is the second part of the two-part problem, and that's finding a methodology for a curative mechanism. So I do think it's important for people to understand that while it may seem as though this is taking quite some time, and I do appreciate that it is, but nonetheless, I do think a considerable amount of progress has been made, and I think it's also worthwhile taking note of that. Thank you.
Thank you, U.S. So we will try and reflect this in a text that should be as short and concise as possible, but clear, along the lines that the two of you just spelled out. Should we ask the IGOs to prepare a first draft for us for a small text in the communique on this issue? Would that be okay? Acceptable? Okay, thank you. So the work is on you. Thank you very much. Any further questions or comments on this agenda item? Yes, United Kingdom.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you to those who are leading on this, and to the OECD in particular for reminding us of this is a critical issue that needs early resolution after a very protracted period. And, of course, we should be mindful of the GTLDs that are launching and rolling out, and registries need to understand what the situation is. So I really urge that we do set a clear timeline to conclusion, and we communicate that as a shared objective for the community to embrace. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, United Kingdom. Other comments, questions? If that is not the case, then nothing can prevent us from moving ahead to the next item on the agenda, which is number 6, country and territory names as second level domain names, review of progress. Those who have been here the last time may remember that we have started a procedure to help us and also the registries to have a clear and simple mechanism for knowing who does not need to be or does not insist on being notified when a country name or a territory name is being used by a registry. And we have had some discussions about how to do this. There is also, just to recall to you, a history to this with regard to the two character codes, where we had a similar debate earlier that was creating some confusion also, and we were trying to learn on from that experience and come up with something easy and clear and simple. This is why we have developed this form that Olaf has sent out to you some time ago, and already quite a lot of countries have sent back the form, and I will now hand the floor to Olaf, because he has a few remarks and pleas to make to you with regard to the form and the accumulation of this data. So Olaf, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and I should really thank you all, because many of you have filled out the form, sent it back. Not all of you, but more than half. So we still would need additional input, but we're at least on a good path. That said, I would like to emphasize what the purpose of this form is. It's really an opt-out form in preparation for the foreseeable notification procedure that will come concerning country and territory names alone, not for the CCTLD codes or anything like that. So it's an opt-out form. It's not an opportunity to add anything in the protection that's already foreseen, and the basis for that protection is in Specification 5 of the new GTLD Registry Agreement, which is in itself a bit complex because it has three lists of country and territory names. And they are rather extensive, some of them. So with that said, I would like to have a look again on the form as it stands. And the first column, which says, no, back again, thank you, back again, keep it still, thank you, Julia. So it says name of country or territory in English. It's in singular, and it's singular for good reason, because just by identifying the country, well, then it applies to all those versions of the name that appear in the various lists. And let me give an example. I mean, it's a short name for in the national language. It's the formal name in the national language. And there are the six UN language versions of both the short and the long name. So instead of listing everything or making separate entries of those, well, the preferred option is just to have one name in the entry on the first line. And then the opt-out options, which we have foreseen, is the full opt-out by indicating on the second column with an X that the country in question, the government in question, does not require notification. So full opt-out. Or partial opt-out, the third column, for brand TLDs as defined in the footnote, and it's too difficult and too fine print to read, but you can all look it up if you like. And then the third opportunity for any other version of opt-outs, like in the remarks column. Like, for example, well, all right, we don't need to be notified of the use of our country name in non-Latin languages, for example. It could be an option. Nobody has done that, but I just mentioned it as an opportunity to come up with other exclusions that you could foresee. And then, last but not least, a contact. Provided it's not somebody else than the GACA representative, and a few of you have used that one to good effect. What I have done is really to try to follow, literally, the submissions you've made, and compressing them to one line per country, rather than listing all the variants, but with dividing them by slashes, and with the options indicated. So you've seen that in version 4 of the list, and there is a version 5 which is underway of that one as well. And then I've also excluded all the entries of the country codes. Some of you entered the two-letter country codes, and this is not the purpose of this exercise. That was the previous exercise we had for that particular purpose, another part of the specification 5. So, with the permission of the chair, let's have a look then what Switzerland provided. So please scroll a bit, Julia. And this is an example of, well, the rather elaborate replies I've received. You have Switzerland on one line with a partial opt-out for the brand TLDs and remarks on the coverage. Swiss Confederation, which is actually the English version of the formal name of Switzerland, with the same option, opt-out for brand names or brand TLDs. And in detail, the same rules also apply to Confederation Suisse, Schweizerische Eidgenossenschaft, and Confederation Svizzera, and Confederation Svizzera. Which is in Romansh, which very few speak, certainly not me. And all right, and then you have Swiss, which is interesting, because that's not really the name of the country. Then again, so what do I do? Well, I put them on one line, and I divide them by slashes, and I add all these comments in the version 4. But actually, it would suffice to have Switzerland there, no Swiss Confederation, not Swiss, because that doesn't appear in any of the lists, and there is not an option to add anything to those lists. Also, when it comes to the names, short name of the country in all official languages, fine, they're already foreseen. So the entries in the fourth column are actually unnecessary. Also, the formal name, it appears in 4 different languages, the 4 national languages, fine. They also appear in that particular list. So they're already covered. So it's not necessary to have that entry there. So what I would suggest, that is A, that you keep them coming. Those who haven't sent them yet, please do so. Secondly, that we try to harmonize it. And I simplify by using the name in English and following actually the name and the list of names in the GAC member record. That's one way of identifying it. And then we get it in the same order as we have it in the GAC membership list as well. And then that many of the entries that actually call for the protection must be made in this, that, and the other, that we move that to a preamble to the whole list and clarify what's the intention of the list, what are the provisions that we foresee, and actually make reference, clear reference to the specification 5. So in order to clarify it and make it more harmonized, then there is something else which I haven't touched upon, but clearly important. When we speak about territory, it's not about a region of the country or anything like that, but the territory names in the 3166 list. And those, there are more such territories than there are countries. And some of those are overseas territories under with some degree of independence, but under sovereignty of a country, like, for example, the UK have plenty of such. France has some. Finland has one. And those are not covered in the list of all the UN languages and such, but they're most certainly covered by specification 5. So if they're not covered, or if they're not listed, the assumption is that notification is required if a registry would like to use those names on the second level. So listing those, that's an option, and I've recently received something from the UK where they start listing it very usefully, and we'll add those at the end of this list in order to make that perfectly clear. And in particular, it's most useful also with the contact to use the 5th column for the contact to notify if there are requests for that name. That may be the mother country, but it most certainly may be the territory itself that has that prerogative to respond to it. So That's a pretty lengthy explanation. And we tried to make it as simple as possible, but, well, once you start digging into it and you get a response as well, you start realizing that, well, there are always some complications here. So we most certainly couldn't close it out right now. I would suggest that we continue to develop it. You send me more additional entries to it. I prepare a simplified list by the end of June, so that would be a cutoff date, and send it out to the GAC list for your review until mid-July. So that's my proposal. Thank you very much, Chair, and excuse me for being spending quite some time on this.
Thank you, Olaf. So to try and sum up, for the particular game, I thought it may be useful for you to have a concrete case so you see what that means, what Olaf has told you. In the final list, there will be just one entry where you have Switzerland and the cross, and the rest is not necessary because it will be stated that in the preamble that this covers all that is covered. So in order to keep the list simple and short, but it will be made clear to those who will use this list that it's not just the word Switzerland, but it's all the rest as well that will be covered. Did I get this right, Olaf?
Spot on. Thanks for compressing it to 30 seconds.
Thank you. So, I think it's a good suggestion to extend, because not everybody may have been aware or have been sure about how to fill this out. I hope we have been able to clarify this. So there will be an extension, or there is an extension of the deadline to send in further forms to Olaf until 15th of July. So please do so. And now the floor is yours. Questions, comments, whatever is still not clear or whatever. Yes, Germany.
Thank you, and thank you for presenting this discussions and preparing the discussions, which is, from my point of view, a bit complicated if you see and have to check out which are the names that are really protected according to the applicant guidebook. And we have to consult various lists. And what I just, for curiosity, would like to know is what is really protected if there is more than one word involved. If you have a country name that consists of two parts, or if you have the official name, in Germany it would be Federal Republic of Germany, would you have this in one word protected, or would you have between the different words protection with a underlined blank or with a hyphen or whatever? I would seek the question, what is really protected if it comes to more words? Another question I would have and raise is in respect of the time limit. You mentioned that you want to complete the list until July the 15th. I just can give an explanation from our perspective. We discussed this issue whether we would like to open up completely the using of the name Germany in this new GTLD system, and we had internally a discussion on that, and for some colleagues there were still some concerns remaining. And in so far, we want to follow the discussions and see how the delegation of second level domains with Germany will develop, and may be in the future may come back and liberalize it completely. I think we should be open for this, that we could add our country name in future time, maybe in a half a year, maybe in 1 year, to this list, in contradiction to the time limit, the strict time limit you gave us. Thank you.
Thank you. Just before giving the floor to you, Olof, to answer the first question, a quick remark on the second one. I think this list will, of course, be a rolling list. The question is just at some point in time we have to say give it a first stop that we can hand this list over to those who will actually use it. But then we can actually, I don't know, decide on a half-yearly or yearly update that those who have made up their mind and went from notification to, as you say, liberalization, can that this list can be amended. But we need to have a deadline at some point in time where the first version of this list is made public and sent out to those who will rely on that list. That's would be my proposal. Olof, now about the languages and names and hyphens and whatever we may come up with, or others may come up with.
Thank you, Thomas. And, well, indeed, I think this is... Well, it's not a never-ending story, but, of course, we need to advance this for the current round. That's sort of what is the pressing matter. But it's for the future as well. And as to your question, whether how would a multiple word name, like a formal name, which typically are multiple words, like the formal name of Sweden is Konungariket Sverige, try to spell that, and with something in between, then, and you cannot have just an empty space in domain name, really. So, what do you do? Would it be with a dash between Bundesrepublik Deutschland, between Bundesrepublik and Deutschland, then constitute a use of your country name? And I would say that probably Bundesrepublik Deutschland, that is you, would contend that yes, it is. Then again, a registry might say, if I was a registry, I would say, well, it's not identical to the formal name because there is a dash there. So I think the jury would still be out on quite a few of those cases. It's not obvious. And I think there are examples from other quarters when this has been resolved. But I have not a good answer to this that is uncontestable. The only answer I have is really that probably before you try to have Bundesrepublik Deutschland as a second-level domain, you probably start out with Deutschland or .de being much shorter, but that's just from a practical pig perspective. So, half answer, but not a full answer.
Thank you, Olof. Well, first of all, we have some experience with this with trademarks, of course, and my main point would be, and that we it's not up to us to go into this detail of defining, but it's actually regulated, if you want to say so, in the applicant guidebook and in specifications. And if there's unclarity, then it would be actually, in my view at least, be up to ICANN to clarify what that means. This is why, if we ask every government to list all the names that they think are covered, like in this case we have done, there may be some errors in it and somebody would need to go and check and so on and so forth, and it may actually be rather confusing. So if we just limit us to one version and make reference to the source where the other versions are listed, I think that's the easiest for us, and it doesn't bring us into areas where we're actually not really competent in as GAC to define what else may be protected or not. So I would really suggest that we stick to just having one line and make a reference to the applicable lists, and then those who will want to use it, they will go to these lists, and they will also get some practice, because maybe they will not just want to use one country's name, but several ones. So, and that is not our problem. I have... CTU, thank you, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Caribbean Telecoms Union. A question of clarification. If I am a country that does not want to opt out, do I need to submit this form?
No, you don't need. Those who do not give us any information, the default setting is that that means you will be notified. You may, however, fill out the form, and maybe we can just scroll down. In the case, the default setting is that if you do not opt out, it will be the GAC representative that will be contacted, because this is a contact that ICANN has and that registries may have access to. In case you would wish to indicate that somebody else should need to be noted, then the GAC representative, because in your government or in your ministry, somebody else is actually in charge of protection or use of their country name or territory names, then you may actually not tick a box, but just fill out the last column and indicate the name plus coordinates, whatever, on how to identify that person. Thank you. I have Mr. Cheng Xiong-Shu, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My humble suggestion for a longer term for the overhaul for ICANN. Since there are diverse situations which many countries or government authorities are facing, and the ultimate purpose of a specification 5, section 4 of the registry agreement is believed to be to respect all countries and whereby to protect their country and territory name. We suggest that GAC could make a proposal to ICANN to deliberate on extending such scope beyond ISO 3666 list, or just as Olaf has said, three lists, which are in general definitely doesn't count in or cover every scenario, at least for those countries that has many connotations than one, or those countries that are not UN member state. Concretely, ICANN should consider to augment the existing protection scope by adding some additional provision to the specification 5, section 4.1 of the registry agreement, like adding, quote, or otherwise specified by the respective country or governmental authority, unquote, after the language of that, quote, the show form in English of all country and territory name contained on the ISO 6166-1 list, unquote. Thank you.
Thank you. For this round, I think we have an existing framework that defines what falls under these provisions. But I think, of course, everybody is free, and the GAC is free to, when it comes to the review of this round and to developing a framework for the for a next round to bring issues like this up, if this is what the GAC or other parties in ICANN would want. So I think we take note, or I suggest we take note, and in case or at the time when a second round is up, then we may look into what should be the appropriate framework and lists that should be taken into account for protecting names or and the like. I forgot the UK, sorry, Mark, so you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just to say that we undertake to respond as fully as we can. We do have a number of overseas territories, as Olof already indicated, and also within the UK, you know, there are islands which have their own governments, and such as Jersey, which we'll have to consult. I think we are already consulting, actually, as well. And the point I just wanted to make, I think this exercise, a very important one, underlines the importance of being a GAC member, you know, because I don't know what's happening for countries and territories which aren't represented on the GAC. Is that an issue that somebody's dealing with? But it's great news that Mauritius and Kiribati have joined most recently to bring the membership up to 152. But there are countries in all regions which are not represented on the GAC. And those colleagues who, even in this region, Ecuador, I think, is not on the GAC, for example. So it'll be helpful for colleagues who have immediate reach to those countries' administrations to convey this as an example of why you need to be on the GAC, because this is an important decision to be taken on protection of country names and so on. So I just underline that aspect of this exercise. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, in fact, this is a discussion that we've had earlier, and also ICANN and the GDD, those people working on this are aware of that, and there are channels, if I'm not mistaken, that via diplomatic missions that non-GAC members can nevertheless be notified about requests for release of country and territory names. Any further questions or comments on this item, on this list? Spain?
Very small procedural point. I've read in the briefing prepared by ASIC that the lists once compiled will be published in the public area of the GAC website. The lists includes in the last column some email addresses. I wonder whether email addresses could be kept out to avoid the spam and so on. Thank you.
I see that Olof is waving. So, Olof, please.
Well, yes. And the idea is to keep the email addresses that have been provided for contact purposes on the contact list that will then be provided to the GDD staff, and not be present in the published list. Well, the names may still appear there, but the email addresses, as we realized earlier on, they need to be kept out of the public area of the website.
Thank you, Olof. Other comments and questions? Is there a hand up somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't.
China.
There are too many heads between you. China. Okay, thank you.
谢谢主席.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, we like to see we participated in this work before. We support ICANN to establish this formal mechanism in order for ICANN to receive the positions of different governments. And before, China has already replied regarding this form, and now we are doing further research on this topic. At this point, regarding China and the .cn, how would we open that? We were still under discussion among ourselves, and related other forms, we hope that's not going to be open at this point at the second level. So .cn, so we hope it's not open at this point. Thank you. Sorry, another point to add. At this form, the form that on the internet, we didn't see what we provided. We were not sure if we didn't see the most updated list. Thank you.
As he has said earlier, this process is about the country and territory names. It is not about the two character codes of the countries. That part of the process is already over. That was last year in 2014, where there was a mechanism for this. But all of you may have the details. So this process is not about the two character codes. It's only about the names. The other process has already been terminated. Thank you.
Indeed, I mean, it was conceived in 2014 following the RCEP requests that ICANN received regarding release of two letter codes. And then we realized that this was not entirely the GAC didn't have time enough to handle these notifications. So there was a renewed a modification of it that took place at the Singapore meeting. And then there was notification of the individual requests to the individual countries. Unless there be additional such requests that are forwarded, that may still happen, I suppose. That process has been concluded. So this is a second step regarding only the country and territory names. And regarding the question whether the most recent list or compilation of the entries has been distributed. The last one I call V4 for version 4, and that was sent yesterday. There have been entries since then, so there is a version 5 in preparation, but it has not been prepared yet and accordingly not sent out yet, but that will happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, to recall, with regard to the two character codes, you're right, it was actually, the process started in 2014, but after the request of the GAC that the original 30 days notification period that was given to governments, that was not enough. It was in Singapore this February that the board decided that would be extended to 60 days, and those who had already had their 30 days, 30 more were added. The ones that hadn't started yet were 60 days from the beginning. And as Olaf said, in case new requests would come in, there would again be a 60 days notification period for governments to react. I hope that clarifies the question. Netherlands, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. What may be a suggestion is to put both issues in a kind of issue paper by the Secretariat, because it's very we hear a lot of information. And we hear a lot about different processes for the names and for the two letter codes. I think it would be very much saving also time for discussion if we put it all on a very short briefing paper, and then we don't have any misunderstandings anymore, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Netherlands. We noted, and there has already been some briefings, and they will be, Secretary will update them and circulate them again in the near future. Thank you. Other comments, questions? If this is not the case, then I think we can end today's first afternoon. And we forget about five times to say two things that we now. Thank you for flagging two things. One is to remind you to sign on the sheets that have been circulating and the ones that are on the walls in order to get that price that you're offered for getting yourself on the record as participating at this meeting. And the other thing is, and maybe Tracy, would you want to come up and present this? We have received an invitation that some GAC members would be available for making short videos about why they are participating in the GAC and so on and so forth. This is in line with the open forum, or is one of the elements that is linked to the open forum in terms of means of communicating to others, non-GAC members, but also other parts of the ICANN constituency, what the GAC is about and why members in the GAC participate in the GAC. But I give the floor to Tracy for the details. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, out of the GAC Open Forum discussion last year in December 2014, it was agreed and it was one of the recommendations that a range of GAC members do a short video, and it is a short video, and that video be videoed by an ICANN professional communications person who would be asking questions to the GAC member. The GAC member would be videoed, and that video would be placed on the ICANN website. The questions or the subject matter that they want to talk about is basically, as a GAC member, what is it that you do to prepare for these meetings? How do you consult with your various stakeholders within your governments where you come from, and how do you come to these forums able to participate fully on behalf of your government and get value out of them? Secondly, how does your government perceive the value that they get out of the GAC and the public policy contributions that the GAC makes? So how does your government perceive that, and why is it that the GAC process is of value to your government? And thirdly, once you're here as a GAC member, what is it that you do to get the most out of the meetings? And this latter part will help newcomers, in particular new members. So they're the three questions that the interviewer will be asking you, that it's not things you won't know, and you can think, you can have some time to think about it. Now, ICANN have asked me whether or not they're aware that we've got early starts. They've asked me whether or not they can film people Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, potentially Thursday morning, and they're looking for up to five volunteers, ideally from diverse regional backgrounds, genders, languages. You are able to undertake the interview in your national language, not just in English, so don't be put off if you're not a fluent English speaker. And so what I would really like to do is to ask if you'd like to be part of these videos, which is all about the value that GAC brings to ICANN and the value that GAC brings to national governments, and will go up on the ICANN website, but only if you are happy with it. If you participate, please be confident that if you don't like the video and you don't like what's on it, or your government has not given permission for that information to go up, it won't go up on the website until you do give that permission. But if you would like to be part of that process, could you please email the GAC Secretariat expressing your willingness to do so, such that I can get in contact with you and liaise with ICANN, and the first five people that are keen to do it and that are able to participate in a way that they're confident that their government is okay for them to do so, we will arrange for some videos. I think that's all I've got to say on the matter. Have I missed anything?
Thank you, Tracy. Questions, comments? And of course, yes, UK.
Sorry, just a quick question, Tracy. Maybe you indicated it. It's quite brief, this video interview, isn't it? Like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes? Sorry.
Yes, it is. It's only going to be a short five-minute video, but the filming time will probably take about 15 minutes elapsed time.
Other questions? If there are no more questions, then volunteers, make yourself noticed to Tracy. Would be good. What was the number? Something like five?
Five interviews.
So if we get 20, we'll start an auction. If we only get two or three, then we start to think about other incentives. Feel free to. With that, I would like to give the floor, wait a second, to Tom first and then to Olga for a few announcements. Yes, Tom, please go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. I really do hesitate to introduce the term online voting again after the discussion earlier this afternoon, but I have to do so in a context that is not related to GAC procedures. The major registry provider, Afilias, which you may be aware of, did want to make a short presentation to the GAC concerning some new GTLDs, which I'll talk about in a moment, but we could not find time in the agenda. However, they have offered to provide some information tomorrow to interested GAC members about what they're doing. Afilias is one of the backers of a new registry arrangement, which is introducing the new top-level domain names .vote and .voto. That's .vote and .voto. They have... they are interested in using country names within those two domains, .vote and .voto. They are looking to introduce protections to help governments, elected officials, candidates and organisations get information to voters, such as voter registration information, candidate materials and referendums and things like that. They have a number of existing governments as customers and they would like to explain their plans to any GAC member who may be interested. If you are interested in asking Afilias questions about .vote and .voto, they will be outside tomorrow in the area outside the room with an information table, I think, and they'd be happy to answer in the breaks any questions that GAC members might have if you're interested in .vote and .voto and the sort of procedures that they have in mind for dealing with governments as users of those domains. The second point, briefly, is just to review before the end of the day what I understand to be the issues for inclusion in the communique so far. Those issues are, firstly, in relation to the operating principles, I'm not sure that the GAC may wish to include its decision to make the change for up to five vice chairs. It can be included. Of course, it's not advice. It's just a statement of fact. So at the moment, I would propose to include that as a fact that the GAC has agreed. I'm fairly sure that there's no point in the GAC including the fact that it has not agreed to make any changes, so we won't draft that. Secondly, from the session on safeguards, at the moment, that will have to await discussions with the board, but my understanding is that text will begin to be prepared and will take account of the drafting that was done in the draft reply prepared by Thomas to the board, and also the more recent letter from the board concerning anti-discrimination provisions. So some sort of text clearly is intended to be included in the communique at this stage. My understanding is that the United States and the European Commission will be working on that further in preparation for the meeting with the board, but of course that's not until Wednesday, so at the moment it's a marker for inclusion of some text on safeguards. In regard to IGOs, the GAC indicated that wording about the GAC continuing to work on resolving the differences between the GNSO and GAC advice is to be noted in the communique, and my understanding is that the OECD on behalf of other IGOs is working on some text for that. Finally, in relation to country names at the second level, my understanding would be that the discussion this afternoon has been mainly about implementation matters, so I'm not sure that there is material for inclusion in the communique, but I'd be happy to take any further feedback on that. At the end of today, that's my understanding of issues for inclusion at the moment. If there's any corrections, please let me know. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Tom. And actually, just one word about the offer by Ophelius that's linked to the discussion that we just had on the country and territory names on second level. It's also an offer for them to exchange experience about the use and so on and so forth. Yep. So this is it's not a promotional exercise. It's an exercise to contribute to that discussion that we've had. About the communique, I actually raised a good point. We didn't discuss whether or not something should be reflected about our work on the list. What we may do, it's just thinking out loud, what we may do is include an informative line that we are working on this list, that there is progress on this list, and that we may think about introducing the deadline of the 15th of July for information of the others in the communique, if you wish to do so. Olaf?
Oh, just a very, very minor comment. But, of course, there are two parts to the communique. It's the advice to the board, and I doubt that what we have right now regarding country names would amount to anything like advice to the board. But it can certainly be mentioned in the other parts of the communique as something that has transpired in Buenos Aires. Thanks.
Thank you. So would you agree that we have one or two lines on this in the informational part, not in the advice to the board part, but in the informational part of the communique? I don't see any objections, so that will be in the draft that you will see. Okay, with this, let me hand over to Olga. UK, sorry, Olga.
Sorry, Chair, I just want to announce something for Commonwealth colleagues, perhaps after Olga then, unless you want me to do it now.
Didn't you have the floor? Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to inform GAC colleagues representing Commonwealth member states that I'm convening a short meeting on Tuesday at 12:30 till about 1. It's an open meeting, so anybody can actually sit in, but it's intended for the Commonwealth members to get an update on this year's cybersecurity conference, Commonwealth Summit Cybersecurity Conference in London, the Commonwealth Cybersecurity Initiative, thirdly, two Commonwealth events at the IGF in João Pessoa in November in Brazil, further up the coast in Brazil, and also as a sort of open session really for Commonwealth colleagues to reflect on this week's GAC agenda. So I think I can use this room at 12:30 after the GAC plenary has finished. If I'm all right, Tom, we just stay here for half an hour on Tuesday at the lunch break. Maybe we need confirmation of that. But as I say, it's an opportunity for Commonwealth colleagues to get together. The Commonwealth Telecoms organisation would normally chair, but they're not able to make this meeting. They're observers to the GAC. They're not able to come, so I'm chairing on their behalf. Thank you.
Thank you, and Julia has raised her thumb, so that if we get this right, you have the room here for that half hour. Thank you. Olga,
thank you.
Floor is yours.
Thank you, Thomas. And this morning I sent to you an invitation by the Federal Authority of ICTs of Argentina, recently created. We are inviting OLGAC members, observers, and of course the staff to a cocktail in the ministry, in one of the buildings of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which is a historic building. It's Palacio San Martin. It's quite a short distance from here. You're all kindly invited. We hope you can join us. It's Tuesday at 7 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. So you're kindly invited to that. But for that, I need your confirmation and your ID number. So I will be bothering you this night and tomorrow to make my list. Some of you have already sent it to me, so that's fine. I have my previous list. I have like 20 names and IDs, but I will have to make it more complete because it's a building that it's usually needed by the president and by other ministers, so there are some security measures that we have to take care of. So you're kindly invited, and I hope that you can join us on Tuesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olga. Unless somebody wants to make other announcements or ask questions or make comments, we would stop for today and then use the time to prepare for tomorrow. Those who haven't already learned the draft proposal by heart, please look into this until 7:30, where we will meet, hopefully, all of you in that small house over there. Thank you very much.